As I said earlier, sometimes a name is just a name. When our son was born, some people were surprised that we called him Jasper. I remember one man in particular was almost shocked because he thought the word Jasper meant rascal or little whippersnapper. And he even said to me, you know, like, come here, you little Jasper. And so he couldn't believe we would name our son Jasper. But then he told me, he said, but then one day he and his wife were reading the Bible and they were in the book of Revelation and they came to that passage where the new Jerusalem descends from heaven and the streets are made of gold and the gates are made of pearl and there's all these wonderful precious stones. And one of them, of course, one of the precious stones is called Jasper. And the man said, and then I read that and then I got it. And then I understood why you named him Jasper. And I wanted to say, not really. We just like the name. Sometimes a name is just a name. But sometimes a name does have particular significance, particularly in the Bible. Sometimes God gives someone a new name, and it's an indicator that this person is a new person, that God has made you new. He's made you a new creature, a new creation. And sometimes, particularly in the Hebrew language, sometimes a name has a meaning, and sometimes the writers in the Bible are aware of that. Now again, most of the time a name is just a name, and I don't want to give you the idea that the Bible is some kind of secret code. Usually a name is just a name, but sometimes the writers are aware of the meaning of a name, and sometimes the writer will notice in a particular situation that the meaning of that person's name might be particularly interesting or relevant or appropriate or humorous or ironic. And so if you have your bulletin in front of you, and our call to worship this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, and in this particular passage, we're going to see, I hope, that Luke is very interested in names. Now again, I don't want to give you the impression that you do this all the time in every passage, but in this particular passage, Luke seems to be very interested in names. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Well, now we're familiar with the story. Oh, sure, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why does Luke tell us the name of the angel? It's not as if we know so many angels by name that we got to have Luke distinguish for us. I mean, how many angels do you know by name? Well, there's Michael the archangel, there's Gabriel, and Lucifer, I guess, fallen angel. But it's not like we know so many angels by name, but Luke, you got to be more specific. You know, in fact, if we didn't know otherwise, I wouldn't think angels had names. So why does Luke tell us the name of the angel? Well, maybe it's just because Luke is very precise. I mean, that's true. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke tends to give much more detail than other gospel writers. So it may just be that Luke has his eye for detail and he's more precise. But at least it's worth mentioning that the name Gabriel means God is my strength. Well, if an angel is going to have a name, that seems like a suitable name for an angel. God is my strength. Because as glorious as angels are, and we've seen how awe-inspiring they are, that we would be tempted to fall down and worship. As glorious as they are, all their glory and all their power comes from God. So it's very fitting for an angel, if he's going to have a name, to be named God is my strength. But I think it's interesting that this angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. There's another name. And in Hebrew, the name Nazareth comes from the word, means branch. Now, I don't know why they would name that town Nazareth, why you would name a town Branch. You can imagine why Bridgeton was named Bridgeton or Bridgetown. You can figure out why Millville was named Millville or Vineland named Vineland. But sometimes there's towns, yeah, I don't know why they named it that. I don't know why they originally named the town Nazareth or Branch. But when you read this in this context, you can't help but think of that great passage from the book of Isaiah. Remember, we saw last week what's called the Davidic covenant, that God said to David, you will always have a son to sit on the throne. You will never fail to have a son to sit on the throne and rule over the tribe of Judah. And yet Isaiah, as a prophet, he foresaw a day when it would seem like that prophecy wasn't coming true. Because Isaiah foresaw a day when God's people would be in Babylon, and there wouldn't be a man from the line of David sitting on the throne, but they would be sitting under the oppression of Nebuchadnezzar. And so in Isaiah's vision, the line of David is not pictured like this flourishing tree, this family tree, but rather a tree that's been cut down. Isaiah has a vision. The tree of David has become a stump. And so he's foreseeing a day when it will seem like God's promise has failed and there is no one from the line of David to sit on the throne. And then you remember what he says. And then from that stump shall come forth a shoot or a branch. You've seen that happen when you have a tree chopped down and there's just a stump and you think it's dead and then spring comes and all of a sudden new life comes up. That's the image used, that it seemed as if the family of David was gone. It was dead. It was extinguished. It was chopped down. And then one day a branch, a shoot would spring up from the line of David to be that long promised king. Is it just a coincidence? Maybe. Providence. But that here is an angel whose name is Gabriel. God is my strength. And he goes to a town whose name means branch to announce that that branch from the trunk, from the seed of David, from the line of David, has finally come. Well, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. There's another name. And the name Joseph in Hebrew means may the Lord add, or may the Lord increase, which we primarily would refer to, may the Lord add children, may the Lord increase my household. You could enlarge that to may the Lord increase my wealth or my blessing. But you think, may the Lord add children. Coincidence? I don't know. I imagine that when his parents named him Joseph, they just liked the name Joseph. Maybe it was a family name. But I think Luke, at least, I think is aware of this. Interesting, isn't it, that this angel Gabriel, whose name means God is my strength, comes to this town whose name means branch. He's come to announce the long-promised branch from the book of Isaiah has come, and he goes to a virgin who's betrothed to a man whose very name means may the Lord add, or may the Lord add children to my household. Betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Well, now you know that the name Mary comes from the word bitter. In the book of Ruth, Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. I'm bitter. I suspect Mary's parents, when they gave birth to this baby girl, they didn't say, let's name her Bitter. You know? Let's name her Mary. It's a beautiful name. Maybe it was a family name. It's a pretty name. We named our daughter Mary. And I'm not trying to suggest at all that Mary anyway was bitter, but I do think it's significant that in this day, if you were a young woman, you had not yet had children, and you were poor, you would not have been considered particularly significant or fortunate. You certainly wouldn't be called favored. And yet, the angel came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. There's another name or a title. Wouldn't you like to be called favored one? Favored by God. That's a great name. That's a great title. Here is this young woman who would have been ignored by the world, who would have been thought to be one of the lesser ones. And yet the angel calls her, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Well, she's troubled by that, doesn't know what to think of that. But the angel says to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. There's another name. And the name Jesus means the Lord saves. You may be a poor a young lady, forgotten and ignored by the world, but the Lord saves. The Lord has favored you, and the Lord is going to give you a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called Son of the Most High. There's another name, another title. You're going to call him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. But he will be called, other people will call him Son of the Most High. You're going to think he's just your son. Oh, but he'll be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. There he is. He's going to be the branch from the line of David, the long-promised shoot or branch that will come up from the line of David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. Mary says to him, how can this be? I don't yet have a husband. I'm a virgin. The angel answers her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There's another name, the Most High. The shadow of the Most High. The power of the Most High. The Most High would come down. The Most High, not just high, the Most High would come down even into the womb of this poor, otherwise ignored and forgotten young lady. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called holy. There's another name or title or description. Holy, which means special, belonging to the Lord, consecrated. You're going to call him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. But he's going to be called Son of the Most High. And he's going to be called holy, special, consecrated, devoted, belonging to God. He will be called holy, the Son of God. He'll be your son, but he'll also be the Son of God. What a great salvation. What a great message. What great news. You know, Christmas is a time of celebration. At Christmas, we celebrate this great news. We celebrate this great salvation. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. And in the ancient world, you celebrated by means of a feast. And the Lord's Supper is intended to be a feast. The bread and the cup represent feasting. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. It represents a feast. So the Lord's Supper is an occasion for us to celebrate this great salvation in the gift of his son Jesus. Now, if you have not yet trusted in Jesus as your prophet, if you haven't yet trusted in Jesus as your priest, if you haven't yet trusted in Jesus as your king, if you haven't yet professed faith in Jesus and united with his people, the Lord's Supper is not yet for you, but I would encourage you to do what we talked about this morning. Pay closer attention to the word. If you're not yet to that point where you should be participating in the Lord's Supper, I would encourage you, pay closer attention to the word. But for those who have professed faith, we come this morning to the table to celebrate. To celebrate what God has done, to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to celebrate such a great salvation. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful. We celebrate a lot of ways. And some of them are just traditions. Some of them we're thankful for. Some traditions maybe aren't our traditions and we choose not to follow. But this is a means of celebrating that you have given us to come together as your people to celebrate such a great salvation, to celebrate the gift of your son, Jesus. Lord, we come this morning, we come by faith, and we pray, oh Lord, as we come to your table, as we come this morning to feast, not physically, but spiritually to feast, feed our hearts, Lord, feed us well, help us to celebrate this wonderful salvation we have in Jesus. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.